I would like very much for you to get your Bibles today and follow along with me as I bring this message to you. I'm going to be speaking from the 8th chapter of John. Now, I think it would be very, very beneficial if you'd get a Bible and just sit down there by the television and listen prayerfully and carefully to this message. Someone came up to me this morning, a friend of mine, and he said, do you know why the Bereans were called more noble than the folks from Thessalonica? And I said, yeah, I know. Do you know? He said, yeah. He said, they received the word and searched the scriptures to see if these things be so. And that's what I want you to do today. I want you to receive this message, and I want you to search these scriptures to see if these things be so. Would you do that? John, the 8th chapter. Now, I've got a very familiar text. You've read it, you've heard it probably many, many times. You may have even quoted it. Here it is in John chapter 8. Now, when you open your Bible to this place in the Scripture, John 8, stay there because I'm coming back. I'm going to make some comments, and then we're going to go verse by verse and listen to what our Lord had to say here. In John 8:32, the Scripture says, and the Lord Jesus is speaking, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Have you heard that before? Sure you have. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. But you know, the thing about this passage of Scripture, nearly everyone's heard it or read it, but not many people know where the Lord spoke these words, its significance, where He said this. It's also significant to whom our Lord was speaking. And also, it's very important what He meant when He said, the truth. You'll know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Now, I tell our people at the 13th Street Baptist Church, it's so important when you're reading the Scripture, find out who's speaking, and find out to whom they're speaking, and try to find out the subject, and then it'll open up more effectively to you. Now, our Lord Jesus is speaking here. Now, where did He say these words? Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Well, back here in verse 20, it says, these words spake Jesus in the treasury as He taught in the temple. Our Lord was speaking in the most hallowed, sacred, religious place in the world. He was in the temple at Jerusalem. That's where He said this. In the temple in Jerusalem. He was telling these people there in this most sacred, hallowed place, if you ever learn the truth, if you ever know the truth, it'll set you free. And do you know to whom He's speaking? Well, He's speaking to the Jews. That's what it says here. He was speaking to these Jewish leaders. Now, these were men who revered Moses. They revered Moses. They said, we have Moses. Abraham's our father. These were men who revered Abraham. And these were men also who defended the law. They studied the law. They taught the law. They knew the law. They defended the law. They tried to, according to their own testimony, live by the law. And these were men also who were very moral men, very, very religious men. One of them said in the temple, he said, I'm not an adulterer. I'm not an extortioner. He said, I tithe. I fast twice a week. I give alms to the poor. These were very devout, dedicated, moral, really legalistic men. These were men who studied the Scriptures. And it was to these men Our Lord said, if you ever learn the truth, know the truth, it'll set you free. You see, my friends, the truth is not a form of worship. They had that. They had an age-old form of worship given them by Moses, a typical form, a form of pattern and picture. But they had the form. They had the form. That's what the woman of Samaria said. You Jews say that Jerusalem is the place to worship, and that's where the temple was, and that's where they worshiped. They had the form, but truth is not the right form, correct though it may be. And then truth is not a system of doctrine. These men had a doctrine. You can have a system of doctrine, and it can be, to a large extent, correct and not know the truth. And the truth is not a law of morality and behavior. Saul of Tarsus had the law. He said, concerning the law, I was blameless. Blameless. But he didn't know God. Didn't have salvation. You see, the truth is a person. Christ said, I am the truth. He didn't say, I teach the truth, though he did. Or I point you to the truth. I am the truth. The truth is a person. It's not a form of worship. It's not a system of doctrine. It's not a law of morality and behavior. It is a person. And to know this person is to know the truth. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Christ is the truth. Jesus Christ himself is the truth. And to believe this person is to believe the truth. And to walk with this person is to walk in the truth. And so he said, if you know the truth will set you free. Now I want you to look with me at this message. We'll take it up from where he spoke to these men. You know, when he said, I go my way and you seek me and you shall die in your sins, and whether I go you cannot come, and they began to ask questions, will he kill himself? Because he said, whether I go, you cannot come. And then he spoke to them about the truth. But there's a key word in this message. I must give it to you. There's a key word. And it is the word or words, I am. I am. It's used 5 times in these verses from 23 to 32. 5 times our Lord said, I am. I am. Now, where did that come from? Well, over in Exodus chapter 3, don't turn. Let me just talk about it for a few moments. In Exodus chapter 3, the Lord had appeared to Moses in the burning bush, the bush that burned and was not consumed. The Lord appeared to Moses and told Moses that he was to go down into Egypt, where the children of Israel had been for 400 years in captivity and slavery and bondage, and lead my people out. Go down and lead them out of Egypt. Lead them to a land I'll show you. Deliver them from bondage. 400 years. They went down there, 70 of them. Now there were 2 or 3 million. Some people say more. But Moses said, who am I that I should go down and lead these people out of Egypt? I'm one man. And besides, when I go to them, Lord, and I tell them that you sent me, they're going to ask me, what's his name? When I tell them, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God who created the world, the God of all things, the omnipotent living God of heaven and earth, he sent me to set you free. And they're going to say, what's his name? What shall I tell him? Now listen, it is capitalized in most translations of the Bible. And God said, tell them, I am sent you. I am that I am. That's my name. I am. Now our Lord Jesus Christ, in this message, when he spoke to these men in the temple, these people who revered Moses and taught the law and knew the scriptures and thought they knew the truth. These men to whom he said, if you know the truth, it'll set you free. He uses that phrase, I am, five times. Now look at verse 23. And he said to them, you are from beneath. I'm from above. You're of this world. I'm not of this world. You know what he's saying? Truth is from heaven. If a man knows the truth, walks in the truth, loves the truth, it'll come to him from God. And it'll come by revelation. Truth is from heaven. If you're looking for the truth, don't look for it on this earth. And don't look for it from the men of this earth. I care not how intelligent they are, how intellectual, how educated, how wise in natural things they are. They do not know the truth. You see, you can get the best minds of the world together from all walks of life, the very best minds. And wow, they'll be very sharp and very keen and very wise in natural things. In spiritual things, they know nothing. You see, no man has seen God at any time. No man knoweth the Father but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. You see, your sins, my sins, have separated us from God, and God dwells in a light to which no man can approach. And Job said this, can you by searching find out God? Can you find out the Almighty unto perfection? What's higher than the heavens? What can you do? It's deeper than hell. What can you know? This is what our Lord is saying. You're from beneath. I'm from above. You're of this world. I'm not of this world. If we're going to find out anything about God, anything about spiritual matters, don't look for it in this world or from among men. Let God be true and every man a liar. Let me show you what Paul said over here in Romans chapter 11. He said, the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. That's what I'm saying. That's what our Lord said right here. He said, if you're ever going to learn the truth, if you're ever going to know the truth, it won't be from you or anybody kin to you or anybody like you. You assemble whomever. I'm from above. You're from beneath. You're from the earth. I'm from heaven. So if we know the truth, we're going to have to learn it from God. He dwells in a light to which no man can approach. Look at the next verse. I said therefore unto you, because you're from beneath, because you're of this world, and because I'm from above, my Father sent me, I and my Father are one. And because I am from above and God sent me, I said therefore unto you that you'll die in your sins if you believe not that I am. Now you notice, do you have your Bible? This is one of the reasons I wanted you to get your Bible. The word he is in italics. Somebody said one time, well, the reason they put that in italics is because it's important. No, the reason they put it in italics is because it's not in the original. It's supplied by the translators hoping to help us. But in this case, it doesn't help. Christ said, if you believe not that I am. When Moses asked the Lord, what's your name? What did he say? I am. I am that I am. And Jesus Christ here, talking about himself, he says, I am. I'm God's messenger. You know, it says over here in Hebrews 1, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake to our fathers by the prophets, he hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the exact image of his person, and upholdeth all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of God. Who is Jesus Christ? I am. He's God. And he said, if you don't believe that I am, you see, I'm the only messenger. God spake to our fathers back yonder by the prophets, but in these last days he has spoken by his Son. God has come incarnate in human flesh. Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. And if you don't hear me and don't receive me and don't believe me that I am, You're going to die in your sins. You're going to remain in your blindness. You're going to remain in your ignorance. You're going to remain in your darkness if you don't believe that I am, that I'm God. I'm the only messenger. Deuteronomy 18, Moses said, "The Lord will raise up a prophet like unto myself from the midst of you. Him you shall hear." And God said, "If men don't hear him, I'll require it of them. I am." See that? I am from above. I am from heaven. Therefore, if you don't believe that I am, you've got no messenger. You've got no one to reveal God to you. You've got no one to tell you the truth. You've got no way to know the truth. And you'll die in your darkness and in your sin and in your blindness. Verse 25. Now watch this. His word stunned them. And I understand why they stunned him. Here stood a man. Oh, they said, "We know his mother. We know his brothers and sisters, Judy, Joseph. He's the carpenter. He's from Nazareth." And he was a man. He's the God man. God incarnate in human flesh. Mystery of mysteries. Mystery of God. But here he stands and he said, "I am." They knew what that meant. They were familiar with Moses. And they said, "Well, who are you? Who are you?" They were disturbed. They were frustrated. And listen to what he said. They said, "Who are you?" And Jesus said to them, "Even the same I said to you from the beginning. I told you, I am the light of the world. I am the bread of life. I am the water of life. I am the door. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. I am." These were strong words. Strong words. And your doubts and your debates and your discussions are not going to change that fact. "Even from the beginning, I said unto you, I am." You know, John wrote, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and all things were made by him. I'm from above." And then he said, "The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Philip said, "Show us the Father." He said, "You've seen me, you've seen the Father. Believest thou not that I'm in the Father and the Father in me? I'm the Father one." Christ is the everlasting Father. He's wonderful, Counselor, Prince of Peace, the mighty God. God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. The angel said to Joseph, "Call his name Jesus," which is being interpreted Emmanuel. You believe this? God with us. Well, I'll tell you, he said, if you don't believe it, you've got no messenger. You've got no message. You've got no truth. I'm the truth. Now, he said in that next verse, verse 26, "I've got many things to say." Oh, many, many more things. Many things to say to judge of you. What he's saying there is this: "I have many other things to say about you that will judge you." Because like in John 5, he said, "I know you. I know you. You have not the love of God in you. You seek not the honor that comes from God only. Let another come in his own name, and him you will receive. I come in my Father's name, you receive me not." I know you. You claim to believe Moses. You don't believe Moses. Moses wrote of me. I know you. I've got a lot of things yet to say about you. And it says here, "And he that sent me is true. What I say is truth. I am truth. And I speak the words. I speak to the world those words which I've heard of him." They understood not that he spake to them of the Father. But now watch verse 28. This is so important right here. "But he said," verse 28, "when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall you know that I am." When you have lifted him up, he said on another occasion, "As Moses lifted up the serpent, so must the Son of Man be lifted up." What's he talking about? He said, when you've lifted up the Son of Man, you're going to know that I am. I am He. He's talking here about His crucifixion, talking about the death that He would die. You see, His crucifixion and His resurrection and His exaltation was accompanied and followed by such manifestation of divine truth that many of these people listening here were convinced He is the Messiah. Like the centurion at the foot of the cross, surely this man was the Son of God. And I'm sure many of these people standing here listening to Him right here were redeemed and saved at Pentecost. And it says in a moment many of them believed. But He said, when you lifted Me up, you see there have been many messiahs come into the world, many reformers and many religious leaders, but only one, and all of them have died. But only one arose. Only one, Christ. Only one ascended to the Father where He is seated at God's right hand. He said, when you've crucified Me, when you've lifted Me up, then you'll know I'm He. I'm He of whom Moses wrote. I'm He whose day Abraham saw. I am He. I'm the fulfillment of every prophecy, every promise, every pattern, every type in the Old Testament Scriptures. I am the Passover lamb. I am the brazen serpent. I am the rock that followed them. I am the mercy seat. I am the great high priest. I am the priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. When you've lifted Me up, when all this Scripture has been fulfilled, and you see the Son of Man on a cross, in a tomb, risen from that tomb, and ascended to glory, then shall you know I am. And that I do nothing of Myself. He speaks here as a representative man. But as My Father taught Me, I speak these things. And He that sent Me is with Me. I fulfill, carry out His purpose. I didn't come to do My will. The words that I speak are His words, and I come to do His will. I always do those things that please My Father. Now watch this next verse, verse 30. And as He spake these words, many believed on Him. As He spake these words, many believed on Him. Oh, the power of the Word of God. It may be as I'm speaking these words. So it doesn't matter. They may have heard Him when He walked this earth in the flesh. They may have heard His disciples. They may have heard the reformers. They may have heard men in the past years that preach the gospel, you may hear Me. But if it's His gospel and the gospel concerning His Son, the very Word of God is the power of God unto salvation. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. It's the Word of life and that gives life. My Word, He said, will not return unto Me void. James 1:18 says, of His own will begat He us with the word of truth. You're born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed, the word of God. Romans 10:17 says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So as He spake, oh, the power of His gospel, the power of His word that goes past these ears into the heart and regenerates by God's Spirit. As He spake these words, many believed on Him. And then He said, listen, look at this big little word. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on Him, if you continue in My word, then are you My disciples indeed. Not just in profession, but indeed. If you persevere, if you continue in My word, then are you My disciples indeed. Not in form, indeed. You see, true faith is a living experience. It's a vital living relationship with Christ. And true faith, if a man has true faith, it throbs in his pulse. True faith looks out of his eyes. True faith lights up his countenance. True faith softens his touch. True faith mellows his voice. True faith bows his head. True faith will bend his knee. True faith will open his hand. True faith will curb his tongue. True faith will humble his heart. True faith will alter his steps. True faith will give him a hearing ear, a forgiving spirit, and a peace of conscience. That's true faith. If you continue in my word, then are you really my disciples, and you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. You'll know him. What is this free business he's talking about? Well, he's talking about freedom from the curse and condemnation of the law. Cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things written in the book of the law to do them. Judgment, condemnation, but in Christ, through his righteousness and blood, you're free from the curse and condemnation of the law. There's no condemnation of them in Christ. Free from religious tradition and form that has so many people bowed down in duty, 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 fear. Free from legalism. Free from the veneer of self-righteousness. Free from worry and fear. Free from judgment and condemnation. Free in Christ. Free in Christ. There is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. And they walk not after the flesh. They walk after the Spirit. They're in him. The truth, you shall know the truth. I am the truth. And the truth will make you free. Now, you want this message, it's entitled, I Am He. I Am He. You write for it. Send $2. We'll mail you the tape as soon as possible. And there'll also be another message on the other side. Till next week, God bless you.